What's up, everybody? It's that time again. We're back for everybody's favorite mediocre program. This podcast is Just Okay. My name is Nick Rose, and I am here bringing you some facts. Because you know what? I don't do this enough, and I think we need to get back to it. So, with that said, let's hit the theme song, and we'll get things started. Right, everybody. So how's it been? I've been doing good. I've been doing good. You know, it's been a while. It's always been a while because I don't do this regularly like I should. Like I promise myself I'm going to every single time I do an episode. And the reason is I get lazy. That's what's going on. I got a lot to talk about. So much to talk about, but never enough time. And then when I have the time, I'm too tired, or I don't have the motivation, or I just want to sit back and watch a show. And honestly, all that is just a cover for the fact that I've been hooked on Baldur's Gate 3. And that's literally all I've really been doing. Me and my wife have been playing Baldur's Gate. And that game is so fun, yet so very frustrating. There are a lot of parts in that game that just make you want to scream. There are parts that we've been stuck on for days at a time before it's like, I'll be at work and then this revelation will hit me and I go, oh, I know exactly how to beat this part. I know how to get back and everything. And, you know, what sucks is when your character dies and it's like, okay, you die in this battle, but it's like, I don't want to redo the battle, so I don't want to go back to my last save point. So now you got to find this creepy dude named Withers and convince him to bring your character back to life and resurrect him and all this stuff. It's nuts, but Baldur's Gate 3, if anybody's played it, it's a lot of fun. I cheated a little bit. I created a tiefling warlock named Tacticus Kilgore. And the reason I say it's cheating is because he's actually based on a character that I played in a real-life D&D campaign for a long time. And I said, you know what? I'm going to create him for this game. So anyway, Baldur's Gate, it's awesome. That's what I've been doing. So before we get into the meat and stuff, I just want to give a heads up, a shout out to all you crazy podcast listeners out there. What's new? Let's see. In the next, less than 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks away? It's 20-some days. That's where we're at from the time I'm recording this. I am hitting the seven seas, my friends. I am going aboard a boat for the first time ever. And it's a big boat, and taking my wife with me, and we are going to the Bermuda Triangle. That's right. I'm not kidding. Going to the Bermuda Triangle on a boat, sailing the ocean, which is going to be nuts. We've been arranging this for over a year now. Got this going, and we're not going to be alone. Don't worry about that, right? Because we do the creepy paranormal stuff here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take the podcasting gear with me, which it would be a really cool thing to do a podcast in the Bermuda Triangle. But don't know if that's going to happen. I will say this, though. I'm about to drop some big names. We're going with some friends, some podcast friends, and it's going to be a good time. I'm heading out with Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, Brian O'Halloran, Jeff Anderson, the list goes on, right? Ralph Garman, Andy McKelfrish, Mark Bernardin. I'm doing the Cruise Askew, Jay and Silent Bob cruise. So that's going to be cool. It's going out to the Bahamas, Nassau. We're heading down to Florida here in a couple weeks. I'm shooting out a port in Miami and heading down. So it's going to be a good grooving podcast time. I got my shirts ready. We're all good. There's gonna be a 90s themed prom, and we're going to a bunch of Kevin Smith fanatics, so it's gonna be cool. It just so happens we're going to the Bermuda Triangle too. So anyway, that's like my big news that we've been working on, and it's pretty cool, man. Really cool, really cool. I invited Paul to come back onto the show, but he still wasn't feeling it. He's sleeping right now. So I figured, hey, I'm going to do the show because that's what I like to do, right? This is my show, and this is where we're at. So anyway, where do we begin, right? I got some creepy stuff to talk about today, and as always, like we do, I'm going to play a song. I've been recording music again, and it's been a long time since I did that. We're doing some acoustic stuff, and yeah, so I'll play a song. We'll get that going, and then when I come back, we'll do our top list like we always do. So stick around, stay tuned, and keep it creamy, as the kids say. I don't know.
That's what I call love. Bet you pick it up and mess around with it if I put it down. Gets extremely complicated. Anything to forget everything. You've got to take me out at least once a week. Whether I'm in your arms or I'm at your feet, I know exactly what you're thinking. Won't say it now, but in your heart it's loud. Oh no, my feelings are more important than yours. Whoa, drop dead, I don't care, I won't worry. It's not that complicated. Anything to forget everything. He would never talk, but he was not shy. She was a street smart girl, but she could not lie. They were perfect for each other. Say it now, 'cause in your heart it's loud.
That's one that I recorded recently. It's a cover from The Strokes called Razorblade. It sometimes gets stuck in my head, and I go, you know what? I got to cover this and get it out. And I'm really proud of that one. So I had to put it in there and play it so I could listen to it myself. So how about that? So before I get into our stuff, I just want to say, if anyone hasn't checked it out yet, I'm doing coloring books on Amazon. I've been doing those for a while now. And with the holiday seasons coming up, I got a Valentine's one out right now. And yeah, it's like abstract hearts and stuff like that. It's really cool. But I also have a Redbubble page. You know, the podcast here is called This Podcast Is Just Okay. If you get on Redbubble, search up Just Okay Designs. I'm doing a lot of cool artwork and stuff that I'm putting on t-shirts and canvas and all kinds of cool stuff. If you guys are into art and everything, and a lot of the themes that I do are like, I do a lot of fantasy stuff as well as vintage monsters, and they make really cool stickers, but they make even better t-shirts, and I've actually bought a few of them. The quality, it's really good. Check it out. It's on Redbubble, and yeah, kickback comes to me, and you know what? That's a tank of gas, and that gets me to and from work, and then as long as I can do that, I can do this show. Anyway, so since I'm going to the Bermuda Triangle in a couple weeks, I thought I would do 10 best theories that explain the Bermuda Triangle. So I thought that'd be pretty cool, right? And if those of you guys don't know what it is, I'm going to tell you. So the Bermuda Triangle is among the world's most infamous mysteries. The Devil's Triangle is responsible for more than a dozen high-profile disappearances of airplanes and ships and an estimated 1,000 deaths. Approximately 20 boats vanish in the Bermuda Triangle every year. Hopefully that's not our case, you know what I'm saying? So this triangular area of the sea between Bermuda, Puerto Rico, and Florida leaves scientists and experts amiss, and sailors and pilots with a feeling of dread every time they have to pass through it to this day. And with all that, all that we know about the Bermuda Triangle, there is still no one definitive answer to the puzzle. So I'm going to give you 10 best theories here that explain the Bermuda Triangle phenomenon. And a lot of these I get from Listverse. So one Bermuda Triangle theory, this is number 10 on the list here, is the wormhole. And for science fiction enthusiasts, that holds a lot of weight. So when people vanish in the Bermuda Triangle, they disappear without a trace. And the wormhole, which is essentially a time travel portal, would explain why. Unfortunately, scientists have yet to find solid evidence of wormholes in this context, but it hasn't stopped them from believing that they could cause the Bermuda Triangle accidents. So in 1941... for example, the Navy ship USS Proteus, which carried 58 passengers and cargo, suddenly disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle, and 1 month later, another vessel called the USS Nereus also vanished with 61 passengers on board. And no one knows what happened, and there wasn't any recordings of a distress signal from the captain, and search teams also found zero evidence of the ships or bodies. They just vanished. So that goes into the black hole theory, wormhole theory. So number 9 is the methane gas theory. In 2016, scientists discovered several huge craters on the coast of Norway, and the craters measure about a half mile in length, and they're about 150 feet deep. They believe that bubbles from massive methane gas leaks in the deep seabed formed craters. Under the methane gas theory, some scientists think that the methane gas is responsible for sinking planes and ships in the triangle. More research has also proven that there is more methane gas in some ocean spots than others. So if that gas is released into the water, it can quickly sink ships and bring down planes. It would also happen in seconds, not leaving enough time for those on board to call for help or abandon their ship. Kind of like that submarine, but with the billionaire D-bags. But that's that's a whole other show right there in itself. Number 8 on the list is electromagnetic interference. Now, certain places on Earth negatively affect compasses and cause them to have trouble pointing north. The Gobi Desert is one example, and the Bermuda Triangle is another. This is due to electromagnetic interferences, and scientists believe that this electromagnetic interference is one reason why ships disappear and planes crash so often in the Bermuda Triangle. Many people have made strange reports in their compasses over the years when they get to the triangle. And in 1895, Joshua Slocum, he was the first man to travel around the world solo, disappeared on a voyage while traveling to South America from Martha's Vineyard. And experts attribute his disappearance to the Bermuda Triangle. People believe that Slocum would never have been lost at sea since he was an excellent sailor. But there you go. So another incident that happened in 1945 when five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers flew across the Atlantic Ocean. The flight's leader, Lieutenant Charles C. Taylor, became paranoid after noticing his compass had failed and the planes were moving in the wrong direction. Lieutenant Charles instructed his fleet to fly northeast, thinking they were heading to Florida, but he traveled deeper into the Atlantic Ocean, and when the planes went closer to the Bermuda Triangle, they began losing signals, communication, and they vanished, never to be seen again. Number seven is waterspouts. Waterspouts are similar to tornadoes. This is how you get a sharknado, is what I'm saying, right? Because they're like tornadoes, but over bodies of water. And people have seen several waterspouts in the Bermuda Triangle, and some believe that they are the cause of sunken ships and planes' disappearances. When a waterspout forms, water bursts out of the ocean, and the change in pressure sucks it up hundreds or even thousands of feet in the air. And if this happens when a ship or plane passes by, it can easily cause them to capsize or crash in seconds. Now, aside from waterspouts, some parts of the Gulf Stream border the triangle's edge, and the current leads to massive waves, sometimes hundreds of feet high, and that can quickly sink ships and boats. The emerging waves hit without warning. Big waves can even knock down planes flying closer to the ocean surface. An excellent example of such a theory in action is the disappearance of Flight 19 after World War II, which the flight's last communication records were disturbing reports from passengers describing how everything looked strange. One of the pilots stated that they were entering white water and completely lost. After that report, the flight disappeared. According to the Navy, it was as if they had disappeared, or some think they flew to Mars. I don't know. Maybe it's that back to that wormhole theory. We don't know where the other end is. Now, number six, this is always a fun one. Aliens, right? Why not go the History Channel route and say aliens? For every mystery, there is an alien explanation. The Bermuda Triangle is no exception, and even though there's no evidence to blame aliens as the reason for the Bermuda Triangle accidents, they are a convenient scapegoat in situations when we can hardly explain the disappearances. So people who believe this theory claim the Bermuda Triangle is the aliens' gathering spot where they abduct and conduct research on people. One incident narrated by Christopher Columbus while on his first voyage through the area claims that he saw a bursting flame that struck the sea. A strange light appeared in the far distance for several weeks. Maybe it was an alien sighting. I don't know. And in the final scenes of, you know, Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, pilots from all decades return to Earth in good health and unharmed from an alien ship. Aliens capture these pilots from the Bermuda Triangle in the movie. So whether this piece of fiction is actually a piece of fact is, you know, up for the aliens to know. But maybe someday we'll solve that one. Number five on the list is Atlantis. Atlantis is another outlandish conspiracy revolving around the Bermuda Triangle incidents. This theory states that the triangle may be the location of the mythical lost city of Atlantis. According to The Independent, a blogger wrote that when the gods destroyed the city of Atlantis, it sank to the ocean floor. And the writer also wrote that although the ruined temples currently host most of the underwater creatures, the great fire crystals of the Atlantis city that used to provide power and energy exist to date. Therefore, such power and energy may be the cause of the accidents along the Bermuda Triangle. It's all kinds of weird stuff, right? So number four, there is no mystery. How about that? That within itself is a mystery, right? Is there really any mystery behind the accidents and disappearances at the Bermuda Triangle? Some people believe there's no mystery at all, claiming that the Bermuda Triangle has the same disappearance incidents as any other part of the globe. This theory seems to pan out when you consider that the Bermuda Triangle is one of the world's most traveled areas, hence where I'm going in a couple weeks, right? So those that believe in this theory state that it's difficult to differentiate between fact and legend, as is the case with ships and planes, disappearances from around the world. And if there are many accidents and shipwrecks in the Bermuda Triangle, then it's because many ships and planes travel that part of the Atlantic Ocean. So that's why they're saying, I mean, there is no mystery. It is what it is, you know. Number three on the list is the human errors theory. So if you're searching for a deep theory about the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle, this one is definitely not it. The human error theory states that simple mistakes lead to many accidents annually, both in the sea and air. And this theory also assumes that any confusion or error from the captain of a ship or pilot can lead to severe consequences. For example, they could run out of fuel before before returning to land, thereby leading to their demise. Additionally, the Bermuda Triangle has many islands that are difficult to differentiate between one another, and the confusion leads sailors and pilots open for greater navigation errors. So, do with that what you will, right? Number two is rogue waves. Another explanation would be the rogue waves. So according to oceanographer Simon Boxall, when storms from the north and south collide in the Bermuda Triangle, they can form rogue waves and cause significant damage. And another post from Huffington states that these rogue waves can reach 100 feet high, making them some of history's largest waves. And a good example is the 100-foot high tsunami caused by an earthquake and landslide in Lituya Bay, Alaska, which was 1958. The Bermuda Triangle is in a strategic position to be affected by these rogue waves, and if they happen as ships or planes pass by, it can result in accidents or death. And the last one, my favorite theory on this top 10 list, is pirates. I'll tell you, when you go, there's an excursion I want to try out. It's a pirate themed like island, and everybody there are pirates, and there's like museum and tours and all kinds of cool stuff. But cause we all know pirates have been around since, robbers could sail the sea, and in a real-life Pirates of the Caribbean, experts have theorized that pirates could be one of the causes of the Bermuda Triangle disappearances. Pirates have abducted ships, caused planes to crash on the triangle, and endangered travelers' lives. The U.S. warns travelers and sailors of the possibility of encountering vessels that are engaged in illegal activities close to the Bahamas. So, in conclusion, the Bermuda Triangle is truly one of the world's strangest mysteries, and many theories have formed around this patch of the ocean, but none of them seem to offer a satisfactory answer, and only time will tell. Or maybe it won't. Who knows, right? So it's cool to sit and think about this, but I don't know. To see what you guys think, right? You can always write to me. Write to me on the email at justokpod@gmail.com. Haven't used that one in a while, but it is there and it is up and running. And I'd love to hear your feedback. What do you guys think is the main cause of all the disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle? I don't know. Maybe I'll get some answers when I get up close and personal with it, because I don't know, man. The ocean's scary, and we don't know what's down there, and I'm going to be surrounded by water, which is, I always wanted to see the ocean, and I got to do that for the first time, man, about 7 years ago, and it was the greatest thing ever, right? It was dangerous, because it's like, it's so beautiful that I don't want to come back home. I just want to stay out here, be a guy that lives on the beach, you know? And that's why I say, you know, the homeless are dumb. You got to be stupid to be homeless in a place such as, for example, Denver, and of all places, because, you know, the weather isn't kind. It's overcrowded. It's overpopulated. There's a house. I don't know if there's home shortages or it's just too expensive to live. But I think bear with me, ride along with me here as I say this, because I think if you are homeless in a place like Colorado, you're an idiot, because the weather gets cold, right? If I was homeless, I had nowhere to go, nobody to hold me down, and I was that free, open spirit, dude, I would go to the beach and be homeless, okay? That makes more sense to me. Go somewhere tropical, go somewhere where the climate is great, you know, like go to California, right? Go hang out on the beach there. Take in that ocean view. Get a second wind on life, because, dude, it is dangerous, but it is amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So, quick story. I think I've told this before. When we went to Hawaii a few years ago, we bought snorkeling gear. We were going to do all this cool stuff, right? Except the first time out into the ocean, because it's great to look at. But once you get to the ocean, and I put my little fins on, you know, I didn't even get the fins on before the wave hit me and kind of sucked me in. You know, I was like, oh no, I'm going in. Didn't want to go in yet, but here we are. And I got caught in the undertow, and I'm very fortunate to be here today because I got pulled under in the ocean, and that has to be the absolute most terrifying, words can't even explain how scary it was. And a local, thankfully, was able to pull me out of the water and dragged me back to shore. And my wife just kind of floated on down, and she came right out. And I feel so bad because I wasn't able to save her, but I got pulled under the water, and it grabs you and it pulls, man. It's scary. And I'm going to be in the middle of this surrounded. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be a wild, crazy time. That's what I got to say. It's going to be fun as long as I forget that I'm on a boat. And I don't know how motion sickness is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to get sick or if we're going to be abducted by any of these 10 theories that I just gave you about the Bermuda Triangle, because we are passing through it, and that's going to be insane as well. So anyway, that's my rant. I don't know what else to say. If anybody has any tips or pointers or wants to say anything, go ahead and comment, man. Tell me what's up. You know, make this a community effort thing, and hopefully ease my mind about being surrounded by the darkness and the monsters that live below. Because I've always thought, you know, they said that the dinosaurs went extinct or whatever, but nobody's actually officially explored all of the ocean. And who's to say that there aren't dinosaurs still in the ocean, right? That's one of the scariest places to be. It's great to look at from a distance, but I don't ever want to get into it again, is what I'm saying. And, you know, be a castaway. But, yeah, there's your Bermuda Triangle theories. So, you know, I don't have the emails ready or the trivia or anything or any corny jokes or nothing. So that's just it, man. We're just going to simplify it. We'll do the intro, the catch up, the music, the top 10 there. And then my final thoughts, you know, like Jerry Springer used to do. I don't know. Kind of wrap it up here. Keep it a little short, keep it simple, and as I said earlier, keep it creamy, which my kids hate when I say that, but I heard it online once and the dude looked legit, I guess. So that's been our that's been our thing. So with that, I guess that's the show this week. You know, keep it together, keep your head up, and your chin forward. I don't know. We'll just say have a week, you know, like I do. And I will see you guys next time.